In the words of the late Michael Jackson, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. And this is the Fat Man Chronicles. Well, welcome to episode 2 of the Fat Man Chronicles, if you're returning.
Yay!
Thanks for coming back. And you may notice a pretty big difference, episode 1 to episode 2, because I had my mic turned the wrong way.
Dope.
Episode 1 was a little not up to par on the sound side, and I wasn't drinking that night.
Tonight we are, though.
Tonight we are. What are we drinking?
We are drinking 2013 Black Slate.
Yummy.
Very good.
Such a good one. Eric Solomon Imports, if you're into wine, dude always is nailing it. From Priorat.
We were there.
Not that long ago. Mm-hmm. Year and a half?
Year and a half.
Give or take?
Yes.
With our good friends, Jen and Boone. Shout out.
Shout.
We were in Barcelona with them. Had a great time. Good food, good wine. All that kind of good stuff, right?
A lot of good food.
It was awesome.
Yes.
So I guess I should tell you who we are and what we're doing. This is the Fat Man Chronicles. My name is Pete. I am your co-host and author of the Fat Man Chronicles blog. And sitting across from me, wine at the ready, is my wonderful wife, Gretchen.
Hello.
The reason you'll probably come back if you do to episode 3. Or even make it to the end of episode 2. I'm kind of assuming stuff at this point.
Yeah. I think you're getting a little ahead of yourself. Getting a little ahead.
So we're going to take a step back and actually do things like an episode. Now I have a whole outline and everything Gretchen can see. And we're going to have some topics that definitely relate to us. We're going to tell a little bit of our story, but probably relate to others out there. First, we're going to talk about triggers and then the exercise gap between us.
Which is a big one. Huge.
But that's all right. We're going to talk about it and why that exists and what's going on there. But triggers was one that really came up for me because of the change that we've made in our eating patterns. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I started thinking about, why do I eat? Why do I eat so much? Like, what has been the trigger all these years? Well, there's not just one. Spoiler
it's
alert.
Because food is good. Most of the time.
Right. So for me, the top of my list, I put emotion. I have emotion there. So for me, any kind of stressor, if things aren't going well for me in any part of life, I find a way to go ahead and quell that pain with food. I've done it for a long, long, long time. And the fact of the matter is, I believe that even at times I created drama in my own life, so I had an excuse to eat more. Not a good plan at all. But that's just a fact. That's me being honest about what I kind of believe was happening for me a lot over time. Do you get emotional around eating, or is there other triggers for you?
You know, when we started thinking about what, you know, episode was going to be about, I was trying to think about what is my trigger. And, you know, I think a lot of the time it's not so much an emotion, it's I get bored. I'm sitting on the couch, the baby's sleeping, you know, what have you, what's going on, I'm watching TV or something like that. And it's like, oh, what do I want to do? Oh, let me just go get something to eat. Let me go get a chocolate or a brownie or a cookie or crackers or a number of things. And, you know, that's really where I'm at is, you know, the boredom part. And it's still today, you know, even though we're not snacking, you know, I might have some cottage cheese, but it's not that satisfaction of what, you know, it used to give you because it's, well, it's not chocolate. And I mean, chocolate's the ultimate.
So we don't really snack all that much. So has it become easier or is that always there and you have to fight it off?
It's still there. It's still there. I mean, it's not like it's all of a sudden going away after the first couple of weeks of doing this new lifestyle. It's always there, you know, if things
couple
are-
Couple of months, give us some credit.
Well, no, like after the first couple of weeks, things were easier. But it's still there. I mean, I still get bored. I mean, you're entertaining, but you don't entertain me all the time. I got, you know, I have to.
I offer to do karaoke all the time. You tell me not to.
I think, yeah, no, nobody needs
it would,
that.
It would be all Wham Rap.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good. No. Mm. So the boredom's still there. And so then I still want to have that snack or I want to eat just in general or, you know. It's very difficult at times, but you know, you just get past it. Especially, you know, if I'm watching like one of the Food Network shows or something like that.
You watch a lot of Food Network.
Well, they're good. I mean, they're good shows.
Guys, Grocery Games is a good show.
It is.
Okay.
Careful now.
My daughter's out there going, yeah, it is.
Yes.
Right? Lily's going.
It's a good show. It's entertaining. You see all those great chefs trying to make something. And so I look at what they're making and I think to myself, oh, I can go make, you know, a little bit of what they're doing and maybe modify it or what have you, but I don't because, you know, of the new change that we're making. And it's so boredom for me is that's hard. It's very hard.
So boredom's like your number one trigger on when you start thinking about food?
I really think so, honestly, because I feel like when you're bored, your mind starts to wander. And what does it want? It wanders to things that you love to do, right? And I love to eat, so.
So I imagine there might be people screaming, get a hobby right about now?
Yeah. You know, I used to like knit, right? I used to knit. That was fun. And, you know, that would take away some of it. But I also would knit with like a piece of chocolate next to me too. So, you know, and when I'm bored and I think about like, hey, you know, I'm bored. I want something to eat. Oh, maybe I should go do something. Oh, I should go exercise. That thought does enter my mind once in a while. It's seriously goes out very quickly.
Fleeting?
Yeah, it's like a second, not even millisecond of a thought.
Well, you can't leave the house if the baby's asleep and I'm not around.
Right. Well, but we do have a lovely workout room.
That's true. Look at
is.
That.
I mean,
it's across from us.
It's pretty nice. I mean, it's got the workout floor. It's got the mirrors. It's got a TV.
It's the mirrors that scare me.
I don't want to see, you know.
I don't want to watch myself work out.
I know.
These people that had the house before were in shape.
Well,
all that P90X stuff was laying around.
And they had the marathon stickers all over the place. I think they're still up too.
It's a little braggy.
Yeah. Wow. Well.
Just kidding. It's fantastic. I'm just a little jealous. Because I can't look in the mirror when I'm doing that.
But no.
You know, and it has crossed my mind that would make a great recording studio, but I would have to do it from the treadmill or I would feel really, really guilty.
That would be bad. Well, I was thinking like, oh, you know, that would be a nice, like, you know, spare bedroom, you know, people come visit or something like that. It's like, no, it's a workout room.
And we need it.
We should be using it more.
When I'm bored,
I should go down there and use it.
In the winter, I do use it when I can't go outside.
Yeah.
But in general, having it closer has not really made a bit of difference.
No, we thought it would too.
No.
No.
It really hasn't.
No.
And it's sad.
It's very sad. People are turning off our podcast now because they're like, they have a workout room with equipment and they still don't use it.
We live in a palace.
No, we don't.
No, but it does have a workout room.
It does.
And a basement that we're recording in. So, I mean, overall, we're doing okay. But it's interesting though, because the emotion plays in more for me than boredom. Boredom doesn't really make me want to eat. It's more emotion. Or the second one that I thought about was social, right? Because we bond over food. You and I bond over food. We did bond over food right from the start.
Yeah.
Really?
Our first date, Blackbird.
That's great
one
restaurant.
Of restaurants in the our anniversary. Every year we pick an amazing restaurant to go to.
Yeah, we'll have to make a choice this year on what we want to do, you know.
With go to an amazing restaurant for...
Right, but I mean in terms of... I mean, what we'll do is like just do a chef's choice or a prefix menu,
right.
You know, chef's menu, right? We're just going to walk in there and say, give us whatever.
Right.
And pair it with a wine for every course. And then we stumble back to a hotel room And I don't know what we'll do. Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to actually have a discussion about, okay, what's our strategy for those couple of nights? Because we also go out the night before usually with our friends, Jen and Boone, who we went to Spain with.
Right.
Shout out Jen and Boone. So.
But yeah, the social side.
What are we going to do? The social side to me is a big deal.
It's a big deal. I've been out, I've been out in more social situations since we started this than you. And, you know, I don't find that as hard as, some other triggers because, if I'm out with some friends and they say, oh, do you want, going out in a couple of days? And they're like, well, I'll make you dinner because I can do a high protein, and I don't need to, make, a carb or anything like that. And I said to her, I'm like, that's sweet and that's nice and I love it, but I don't want you to change how you're eating because of how I'm eating. I would rather go out to a restaurant and choose what I want to eat than try to impose because I feel like I'm imposing what I'm doing on others then at that point. And so for me, being out with social situations like that, it just doesn't, I'm okay with it. It doesn't affect me. There's no triggers there for me to eat like them because if they want to judge me, they can judge me. I don't really care.
See, mine is more around guilt. If I'm out with everybody and I can't participate, I feel guilty that I can't. Well, that's a wrong word, that I'm choosing not to participate at that point in time in those activities. And we're still going to have wine as a part of our life. I'm in the wine business. I love food and wine. We still make great meals. Well, you. I sear the steaks.
Yeah.
But overall, I feel a little bit of guilt that I can't participate in experience. Again, I said it, can't. That I'm choosing not to participate in that experience. And that's a big deal to me.
Right.
And one of the other things is I don't want to have that become a topic of conversation. So for me, going back to emotion, guilt is an emotion, fear is an emotion. And for me, fear of people judging me is a constant thing. And I've had that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Therapy has only wiped out part of it. I don't care as much as I get older, but I do have this fear that people are going to ask me, hey, why aren't you doing that?
Right.
Like, why aren't you eating that plate of pasta like you normally have for the last, 40 years?
Yeah.
Why aren't you participating? You're my big friend. And not that they look at me that way, right?
No,
but I look at myself as the fat friend, right? That, hey, give it to Pete. Pete'll eat it. Pete'll try it. He'll try anything. I'm the Mikey of our social group, I'm thinking.
Well, I think Boone might.
Well, Boone, yeah. But Boone's a different animal, right? He's got a physical job, right? Called Boone an animal. This is great. This is great podcasting here.
I have no friends after this.
That's just me, babe. So, but in all honesty, I mean, Boone does scoop it up, but I think that he's more disciplined during the week and he has a physical job.
Right.
I don't. I sit on my rear end.
Right.
I try wines. Not very physical to pick up that glass and try the wine.
Right? Yeah.
So for me, that's a big, big deal. And the other thing is I don't want, if I start to explain what I'm doing, so I'll briefly explain it and we'll come back to this in a later episode, much, much later, on why we're doing what we're doing and what it is exactly. But in general, we've just given up most added sugar as we drink wine. Most added sugar, almost zero it's at. And we've given up grains. So that's basically what it is, right? So for us, I don't want to have to explain to them what I'm doing and have them think I'm preaching because that's been one of the things that's turned me off from trying any of these kind of modern diets,
right?
If you will. To me, one, it's got to be a lifestyle change. And to me, we've done that. We have completely changed how our life is. Two, we don't really evangelize this. And I don't think we ever will. If somebody wants to do it, great. I'm more than happy to help. I'll talk you through kind of our experience and tell you to stay away from your loved ones for the first 3 or 4 days because it sucks. But other than that, I feel good, but I'm not going to tell you. So like when I'm online and I see the paleo person basically telling you that you suck if you're not paleo, more power to you. I just don't want to hear it and I'm not going to participate in it. And I don't want to offend anybody saying that, but that's just how I feel about it. It's such an individual choice on how you want to approach things.
Yeah, I feel like when I'm out in social and people notice that I'm not having a cracker or something like that, I'll just use the excuse of, oh, I just don't feel like it. Like, if they keep pushing, you know, I maybe it's just like who I'm surrounded by. And, you know, my friends are, we have the same friends, but we have some slight differences. But, you know, they just accept it. It's just like, oh, okay, she's not, you know, it doesn't become a topic. And I think that's why for me, social isn't going out to dinner with my friends in a couple of nights or going out to my friend's house in the, you know, the following week. I have a lot of outs in the next couple of weeks, but it doesn't.
Without me.
Without you, yeah. Okay. It does. There's no fear in that for me because, you know, if they want to ask me, I'll tell them, but I'm not going to go further. It should be like, oh, I'm just not eating grains. And that's it. That's
sure.
All I say.
I mean, if people want to discuss it and have an intelligent conversation, I would love it.
Right.
But most of the time it gets fueled with emotion. And the number one question, and I've gotten it already from people, are you going to be able to do that forever?
Right.
I don't know. But so far, anything I've tried, not forever. Right. That's why I'm fat.
Right.
So I'm going to give it a try.
Yep.
And if I can do it for a long period of time, that's great. Honestly, most things don't last 2 months.
No.
Or over 2 months now for
right.
us.
Right. So.
So that really is a big deal to me. And the other one is nostalgia. For me, nostalgia is a huge trigger.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, it may be the biggest one for me because when I see my family eating, or especially my family eating something that is kind of a specialty within our family, it kills me. Like the other day when you were cleaning out the freezer and you told me about the sausage sandwiches that are in there and I started to drool and it was drooling a little bit now.
Yeah. Okay. Wipe your lip there a little bit.
But it's such a simple thing, right? My grandma would get Italian sausage from Hungry Hill in Chicago Heights and brown it up, make homemade pizza dough, wrap that sausage in a piece of pizza dough, brush a little butter on it and put it in the oven. About as simple as you could get, but they are phenomenal. Put a little jardinera on them.
Mm-hmm. They are good.
Man. Okay, I got to stop with that. But the point being that nostalgia is a big deal for me, right? And when you combine the social and the nostalgia, that's when it gets really rough for me. So the other night we were over at my grandma's for my dad's birthday. The family's there, most of the family. And we were missing my brother and sister-in-law and awesome niece. The pizza, the Malnati's, the Lou Malnati's pizza looked really good.
Yeah.
And everybody's enjoying it. And we had pizza though.
We did. They have an amazing option for us.
Right. They have a crustless pizza. It's just the sausage is on the bottom. And so it's basically pizza toppings into a pizza. And it worked. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I still wanted to. So it came down to how do I fight it off? What do I do? And at that point for me, it was willpower.
Yeah.
And I use willpower quite a bit, I think. Maybe more than I could or should. But I use it a lot. Is that your big tactic? How do you combat this? How do you combat your boredom? And I mean, what are you doing? Because I know that you haven't taken knitting back up.
No. A part of it is, you know, the part of my willpower is it's almost like it's just like this is how it is. I'm a very matter of fact type person sometimes. And, you know, we decided to do this together. And so that's all it was. This is it. I'm not, you know, I've been, you know, I think the first episode, you know, I talked about how I feel like I've been on a diet my entire life, right? And, you know, when you do this, it's just, this is it. There is, the willpower is there. And also a part of it, you know, you're talking about nostalgia and stuff. And for me, you know, we go through, you know, the holidays are coming up.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
right around the corner.
Those are big
you know?
Ones.
You got Thanksgiving is one of my favorite meals. And when we get to, you know, Christmas, it's, you know, the Italian side of my family is, you know, that's the seven fishes, it's the seven pastas. And, you know, and a part of me is like, how am I going to get through that? You know, how am I going to go sit at my family dinner and have seven pastas staring me in the face and not eat every single one of them? And part of what's there is the fear of how my body's going to react to it.
We all fear that.
I had my gallbladder out a few years ago. You know, I've had stomach. I was lactose intolerant before I got pregnant. Baby cured that. It was amazing. Had ice cream almost every single day I was pregnant. It was the best pregnancy in the whole world. But it's that fear of knowing the pain that I went through with all my digestive issues in the past. And now, you know, not having carbs and those sugars and stuff. And, you know, the times where we've like had like, you know, a little bit of extra sugar in something, which we didn't plan on it. It was, oh, we found out after fact or whatever. I, you know, have noticed things, right? You notice like the extra gurgle in your stomach. And, you know, what's going to stop me from having those nostalgic family meals? Part of it's going to be fear, just because I don't know what's going to happen.
That's a pretty powerful, I mean, fear is a pretty powerful motivator.
It is.
And I just wrote a blog on fear was a big part of it, right? And it's controlled a lot of my life in a less positive way. To me, that's using fear in a positive manner.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to make a choice though, right? To mm-hmm. not participate or to participate, or how do you do that? And the nerd in me is going to come out a little bit. NASA uses controlled failure, right? As a tactic to mitigate big catastrophes. Mm-hmm. So they'll try to find and predict places where they're going to fail. So in this case, we know that there's a good possibility that we'll fail on Christmas Eve at your dad's, right?
Right.
So if you plan for that and you make a decision, I'm going to fail with two pastas and no desserts, and now I get a look. You're not agreeing with this.
This is crazy, crazy talk. How do you pick your favorite pasta? There's seven in front of you.
Can you have
all different?
Can you have like one bite? Could it be like an amuse-bouche
of pastas?
Of each pasta? Is that possible?
Well, my dad has always talked portion control. That's all, he always yells about that. And my father has no portion control, which is, I think, part of the, you know, why it's so ironic that he says this is that, you know, he says portion, like whenever we're making the pasta, he's like, just remember there's seven pastas. You don't need a pound. But yet my father is the one making 3 pounds of pasta to go with it. Except that one year when he made lobster ravioli and Lily.
And everybody got one.
And Lily loved it. And she went into the kitchen with the Oliver plate saying, please, sir, can I have some more? And he said, no. And she came out heartbroken. And I was like.
She cried for a week.
And she did because it was that good of pasta.
Way to go, Bill.
But, you know, it's like, but yeah, you have to make those choices. Are you going to cave in for that one night? You know, you're going to make, how much are you willing to sacrifice for that? Is it, but I don't think, you know, if we decide for our anniversary, for the holidays, I feel like there's no fear in my thought process that I will want to, I'll fall off the wagon essentially. Where I won't go back to no grains.
And that's got to be a big difference, though. I mean, has it always been like that? Have you always had that confidence?
No, probably not. I don't think so.
This change has been pretty wholesale for us, and we've done it together, and I think that's the only reason that it's worked. So I can say for myself, I'm 95% sure that if we weren't doing this together, I would have caved.
Probably.
Because there was several spots where I wanted to, and especially after something emotional. Mm-hmm. I want to just go ahead and get her done.
Yeah.
Right? I want to drive over, get maybe a that burger and just
Culver's ice cream.
Some Culver's, yeah. We could just keep talking about food and driving everybody who's battling this with us. They're either going, oh yeah, or shut up. Would you stop it? Stop it.
Exactly.
But caving in would be the easy route.
Yeah.
Right. Caving in is the easy thing to do. Just go back to feeling like junk most of the time.
Right.
And just kind of get over it. But I don't want to feel that way anymore.
Yeah.
This has made me feel better. Whether that's psychosomatic or physical, I don't know. Maybe because we're doing it together, I feel like it's better. Mm-hmm. But I have not had, so I suffer from migraines as an example. I've suffered with them for most of my life. since I can tell you since 15 years old, I can remember having them quite often. And I went through spells where, you know, I went through tons of medications and tests and everything. I can't tell you, I was probably 15. It's been 8 weeks since I've had a migraine. Excedrin may now go out of business, right. But other than that, I feel pretty phenomenal. And that's while I'm changing my life in terms of eating. It's while my running is picking up. So there's, and you know, the job is stressful. It's a small company. So there's always stress in every job, but in small companies, it can be even more, right? Because there's nobody to back you up really. There's only so many people. So you've got to get stuff done. And when it piles on, it piles on. And sometimes things don't work. And when you're a small company, you don't have an IT department. You got to go figure it out. You've got to coordinate it all. And those stressors every time would have led me to eating something.
Yeah.
You know, I would have wanted to get out the door, head to our favorite Asian restaurant and, you know, like our favorite Thai restaurant and just start downing noodles.
Yeah.
Because they're delicious.
They are.
But I wouldn't have felt better. It would have been a temporary thing. And then I would have been like, oh, why did I do that? So how I feel now is better. I don't know if you're hitting as much on that. You're not, I don't think, is feeling as good as I am physically. So,
no,
yet.
I don't feel like, I can definitely say that post, you know, being in the, you know, after the, you know, initial couple weeks and stuff, you know, after the withdrawals and everything stopped, you know, I definitely don't have as many stomach issues as I was. You know, for me, Tums might go out of business, you know, because I pretty much ate those like candy. And so I definitely have had less issues with my, you know, with that situation. But as far as like my energy and like you've noticed like your energy's up, like you just have this. And maybe that's the whole exercise stuff, right? I mean, they say—
Yeah, maybe that's the coupling,
you know,
of the two.
If you have those two things together, you know, maybe that's the part that I'm missing. Maybe when I'm bored, instead of just, you know, dealing with my boredom and watching another cooking show or some reality housewife show, I do go and work on, go to the treadmill and stuff. I mean, it's a novel idea.
Do you miss anything? Like if you had to name something that you miss in terms of food, are you missing anything right now?
I don't.
Long pauses are great podcasting.
I know. I don't know if there's anything I don't know if I can pinpoint one thing that I'm missing, you know? I think the easy answer would be like, oh, I miss my pasta. Or you know what? I think I miss my bagel.
Oh yeah, you did like, yeah.
I love my bagel like a morning in the morning. Thing. You know, yesterday for lunch, we let our daughter have a bagel because we were out and about. She was kind of being like, no, 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 no. And finally I'm like, you want a bagel? And she's like, her eyes lit up. She's like, oh my gosh, yes, mom, you're my favorite thing in the whole world. And I stared at her bagel. It wasn't toasted nearly enough for me, but you know, for a normal person, it was toasted fine.
It wasn't burnt.
Yeah, I like mine well done.
Burnt.
Well done. And
I'm like Gordon Ramsay's yelling at you.
And so I think I do miss my bagel in the morning. Also, you know, I miss it because I love a bagel, but it's also extremely easy. You know how hard it is to make your breakfast every single morning?
It is. And I have taken a lot of shortcuts on that, admittedly. Yeah. But the one thing that you got me thinking about is we went to Viaggio, shout out Viaggio, not that long ago. Our favorite Italian joint in the West Loop. Great place to go before, I'm like an advertisement. These guys should pay me. Great place to go before like a Hawks game or a Bulls game because it's right there in the West Loop and you can leave your car there and just walk over to the United Center. Anyway, back to the show. We went there and it is tough not to have pasta there. Yes. It's some of our favorite things that are on that menu involve pasta. And we did it.
We did.
We were able to do it. So Nick was a little bit confused, our usual waiter.
Well, he brought us 4 scoops of ice cream because he, you know. Well,
and Michaela ate them all. Our 2-year-old
ate
them all.
All 4.
Parents of the year.
Woohoo, right here.
Well, the fact is we didn't cave.
No.
Much. Like there was a little bit of potato I ate, which is not technically on what we're doing. We had a glass of wine.
We did.
But you have to live life. So I think that that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to balance living life with doing the right thing most of the time. Once we lose the weight, I truly believe if we're good on the 80-20 rule,
right?
If we're good 80% of the time, we're going to be pretty darn good. If we're good 90% of the time, I think we're almost golden at that point.
I think we're winning.
Oh, geez.
Come on now.
Are you going to hashtag
Come
that now?
Come on now.
That's terrible.
Great podcast. Why people are coming back for me.
So how we feel, we differ on.
Yeah.
Most people say, I want to look in the mirror and see the person I want to be. I could give a rip about what I look like in the mirror. The funny thing about this whole experience is, other than my clothes being tight when I don't want them to be, I don't care what I look like. And if this was live streamed right now, they would know I don't care what I look like in my McRunner shirt and athletic pants. I just don't care. I don't care if somebody's judging how I look. I don't really care that I'm bigger. That's not the point for me. It's more about how I feel. And then the other note that I made is about my kids, right? Three kids. I need to be healthier because I need to be here longer, which means I need better blood work. I need my insides to be better. And part of that is weight loss. And it's not all of it, right? Inches and all the other factors are in there. The kids, though, they mean a lot in this journey. I didn't have kids, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would care that much. If it was just the two of us, I'm not sure I would care as much. You don't care.
That's where I wrote in writing kids.
You're so
family.
Lucky to have me. I don't care what you think of me. So any other triggers that you have or any other ways to combat it? I mean, willpower seems to be a big one.
That's the biggest one. And it's just the mindset of, for me, it's just, this is what it is. And that's all there is to it.
I posted in sub 30 and we talked about this, about willpower, and had a good back and forth with a couple of people. One of them being John, who has a great podcast called Endurance for Everyone. I highly recommend looking up Endurance for Everyone over on Podbean and checking out John. He was arguing that willpower, or contending that willpower should take a backseat, that it should be the last bastion, because you'll wear out your willpower eventually. Yeah. Like it could be worn down. And I think that him and I end up in the same place, but we get to it so differently. I use willpower every day and I maybe use it way too often. I think willpower is essential in this battle. And I don't want, maybe it does get worn out eventually. I guess it does, because I've failed in everything else to lose this weight and keep it off. And that's the big thing. You lose the weight, any diet, well, almost any diet works, right? Any lifestyle that you want to make, you got to just keep consistent on it. When you start to cheat on those things is when the weight comes back. And willpower to me is a big piece of it. So I hope willpower remains high for me.
Right.
I just don't know how long that can happen.
Yeah. Well, I think as long as we're, you know, in this together, it kind of helps the willpower keep going in a sense, you know?
Absolutely. If we're not in it together, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, for sure.
I would love to hear what other people's triggers are, and I'd love to hear how they overcome them.
Yeah, for sure.
If you find us on Facebook at Fat Man Chronicles, Twitter, Fat Man Stories, or Instagram, Fat Man Stories, at Fat Man Stories, share with us, especially, you know, Facebook's probably the easiest for something like this. Share with us what your triggers are. We'd love to hear it, and especially how you combat them. I think that'd be really interesting to hear about. And the one person that'll answer is going to be like our favorite.
Yes.
You'll get a prize.
You'll get a shout out.
If you're in Illinois, you get a bottle of wine.
Wait, if you're in like the Chicago metro area or Washington.
No, I can ship them a bottle of wine as long as they're in Illinois.
That's true.
Shipping laws. That's for a different podcast that maybe we'll have someday. So let's go on to topic number two, the exercise gap. You want to start? No, I'll start.
What do you want me to start? Do you exercise? No.
Okay, done.
There we
go. Segment is over.
Done. Over.
This is a big one to me. And I think this may relate to other couples out there where one person is, say, a runner and the other person is not a runner. Going a step further, one person has big goals and wants to do consistent exercises, and the other person is content with where they're at. And I think that describes us right now. I, much like roping you into the podcast, I have big goals, right? My head is always coming up with something strange and big. And right now they're pretty tame. They're half marathons, 5Ks, pretty tame ones. It does require training. So this last Saturday, while the kids were asleep, I get up and, you know, I go and get them their Sunday donuts. We are really good parents. Donuts every Sunday for the kids.
No. Michaela doesn't get, no, she has.
She kind of does.
She does now, doesn't
it's
she?
It's okay.
All right.
It's all right.
She eats really well at school. Her school gives her well-balanced meals.
She does eat really well at school. Way to go. Thank goodness she goes there. And for Costco muffins.
Yeah, seriously.
Either way, right? So I good parent though. I do get up and go get the stuff first.
Right.
I brought you a nice iced coffee back.
In bed.
Cold brew.
In bed.
Cold brew coffee.
Yes, it was awesome.
And then I went out to Waterfall Glen and I started to run and I was going to go about 7 or 8 miles and then kind of walk the rest of the way in. And I was feeling so good that I went 9, which was phenomenal, hour and 52 minutes. So a couple of hours plus the drive. I'm gone for over 2 hours, mm-hmm. 2.5 hours almost total. And you guys are here.
Yes.
So it's family time that's sacrificed, but you're okay with it. Right? I mean,
yes. Oh, yeah. No, I encourage you to go out and do your run and stuff. I want you to have that because that's an outlet for you. It's a goal for you. And I want you to meet your goals. It helps. It makes you happier when you're running.
It does. I feel better. I think I'm happier. I'm definitely get better rest. I'm not overeating even after those things anymore. So that's great. I'm not using it as an excuse to take in a bunch more calories and bad food. I think where it gets interesting is if you weren't supportive, and I think a lot of people end up with spouses who either resent that time away,
yeah,
or don't understand it, so they don't have their own outlets or hobbies. And I think that's what's interesting about us is, as you've said, you know, your hobbies are, you don't really have much these days in terms of hobbies. You're a mom though,
right.
So that takes up a lot of time.
Yes,
and you're perfectly happy just entertaining Michaela or all three kids, you know, when they are here, Daniel and Lily and Michaela. And that's a big deal. And I don't really nag you about exercise. I go through spurts where right. I'll suggest it.
Right.
Sometimes
you do.
Strongly suggest, and then I'll catch myself. But it's hard for me to see you sit when you could be doing something. It's just hard. And you don't like to run. So that takes that out of the equation.
No.
And I'm okay with solo stuff, right? And
right.
I said it last time about sub 30. I still run solo, but I no longer run alone. And I'm finding more and more online communities to connect with and people to connect with. And eventually I think I'll even meet some of these people in person. There are several in the Chicagoland area. But you would be more into like group classes or something. But
yeah.
Even that, you'd probably need to know someone else going? Is that, what would be the trigger for you on that? Like, what's the trigger to get you back into a fitness routine?
I don't know, you know, because I've always, you know, I've gone into, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up, you know, at 6 o'clock. We had a whole discussion, right? I'm going to get up at 6. I'm going to go do some workout. You take care of the baby in the morning until I'm done. And, you know, if she wakes up before I'm done, you know, we had this and have I done it yet? No. Do I want to do it? Yeah. But am I going to do it? maybe. You know, it's just...
I mean, if you wanted to, though, you'd make it a priority.
I would. And so it's like I want to, but I don't know.
Is it fear of being tired? Is it fear? Is it fear of being tired? Is it fear how you'll feel at first?
Because
those first few weeks stink.
They do. But I've done it before. You know, I blocked off my calendar during, you know, I work from home. So I block off my calendar for the 1 hour lunch and I go on the, went on the treadmill. I did it for several weeks, right? It made a routine. And then something happened and I stopped. And it's like, you know.
And that's so easy.
It is. And so it's like, what can get me going again? Honestly, I don't know.
Is it too much to have the change in lifestyle and the eating and then try to get the exercise ramped up?
No. I wish I could say that. Oh, yeah. Because honestly, I really just don't know. And I know that's a horrible answer, but that's the truth. I don't know. Why won't you work out, Gretchen? I don't know. I just don't want to. I mean, that's when it goes. I mean,
so,
I want
to. Earlier you said you want
to. But I want to. Like, I wish I did. Honestly, okay. I wish I did. But
that's
it's
fair.
Just like part of me just doesn't.
Okay, so there's the difference, right? You don't want to, but you wish you wanted to.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. And that's look, it's okay. I didn't expect to have the conversation tonight and have you go, yep, I'm going to do it.
But it's just, I mean, you know, but you know that this is just who I am. So, but I mean, that doesn't mean like come, you know, this weekend, I'm always like, oh, let's go for a bike ride. Let's go do something. You know, I'm always willing to get up and do something. It's not like I'm just like this lug on a rug that doesn't want to go for a hike in the woods or anything like that. I enjoy doing that kind of stuff. But am I going to do, you know, we are doing a, you know, I'm doing a 5K in a couple weeks and that'll be great and stuff. But do I have this desire to train for a half marathon? No, I don't.
But you gave me that.
I did, but...
I understand that. You are committed to walking a 5K.
And I'll be fine. I mean, I might run a little bit too, because I can run. I mean, I can run a little. I don't like to run, but I can. I'm not that out of shape that I can't do a run walk 5K. I can do that.
Well, mostly walk though. I mean,
right.
And that's fine. I mean, and I would prefer that you just, frankly, I'd prefer you just walk it because that way you'll be less sore. Because you're going to be, you know, going up and down hills in the Arboretum. It's not going to be a cakewalk.
But it's, I also feel like
with
sometimes.
With zero training.
But I also think that sometimes, you know, I'm not out as out of shape as I may seem I am. Like, I know I can do more. Like, I do have some issues with my, you know, my IT band. But I can walk through that or I can push through that and it's,
and you've
got
exercises to figure that out.
Right, exactly.
You know how to fix that. That's...
So...
It is an interesting dynamic when I'm going 4 or 5 times a week and getting in some miles and you're doing none. And here's that word again, guilty. There is a part of me that feels guilty because I feel like I'm not enabling you to have the time to get it done. At the same time, it's up to you to tell me, hey, you're not enabling me to have
right.
the time.
Yep.
So when you're ready, I'll be here. And you're there for me and I'll be there for you. The one thing that we really do like to do together is hike.
Yes.
It's just that those hikes will become painful for you with the IT band, especially if you're not doing exercise at least a few times a week. And that's where I guess that's the whole thing for me is I just like to see a couple of times, even 2 or 3 for 30 minutes. But I know I'm not going to be the decider that you are. So I will support you until you get there. And one of the things that got me really going on it was the hashtag. And we decided this was going to be a PG show, so I won't F-bomb, but I will effing conquer hashtag IWFC that when I was in a kind of a bad spot, not improving, I just went out there and just kind of powered through and came up with that after a particularly bad time. And it's really helped power me through all of this. And for me, I'm going to just keep going and having your support is huge or else I wouldn't be able to do it. So thanks.
I'm here for you, babe.
Do you think the work from home makes it harder to mentally get in the right space? You think if you were more crunched for time on that, that it would make it easier? I'm more curious about this than anything.
I think working from home, you know, it kind of gives you this where you feel like you have to be working all the time. So you don't, you know, you don't take a lunch, you don't, you know, stop for a break or anything like that, because you have this luxury of working from home. So it's just like this thing where you feel like you have to be working nonstop all hours of the day. So that probably, you know, I don't know if it, I don't know if I like went into the office or something like that, you know, if I'd be more inclined to do it more, you know, to go up by lunch hour or something like that.
What if I could get John Bon Jovi to ask you to do it?
I do love John, but I still think it has to come
What if he
from
ran
me.
With you?
No, I can think of so many other things that would be better.
PG show.
No.
But if John would run with you, you would go.
Well, he'd have to run in front of me.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. If I was chasing him, yeah, I'd probably go then.
He's got a restraining order for that already, doesn't he?
No, not yet.
All right. I'm going to lay off on the exercise stuff, but I appreciate the honesty, because I think what your position is a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I wanted to, but the fact is I just don't want to. And I think for me, I was there for a long, long time. So I definitely appreciate the honesty. I hope everybody else does too. I think that's about it. Sound good?
That's good. We're almost out of wine, so it's probably a good time to stop.
And we're not pouring a second glass tonight.
No, one glass. That's it.
Just one glass. But it was
because I work from home. I got to go do some more work.
Well, there you go. But it was really good wine, though.
It was very good wine.
Delicious tonight. So, all right. Well, once again, thank you for listening to episode 2 of the Fat Man Chronicles.
Woohoo!
You can find us at fatmanchronicles.com, where the blog is. You're going to be able to find us now on Podbean, where we are hosted. Lots more stuff coming there. On social media, you can find Fat Man Chronicles on Facebook. Feel free to friend me or Gretchen too. I think that we're pretty open to people. Love to have conversations. On Twitter, it's at Fat Man Stories, and on Instagram, at Fat Man Stories. I think that's about it. Oh, wait, we've got email too. FatManChronicles@outlook.com.
Oh, wow. Look, we are like kind of professional.
That's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of places to contact us.
To yell at, to tell us we suck or...
Probably, but yeah. That's okay. Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Eventually, I mean, we're going to be on iTunes too. So reviews, 1-star, 5-star, I don't really care.
Right.
We have pretty thick skin. You can tell us all about it. The one thing that we want to make sure you remember is you're not alone. You're not alone on that struggle bus. We're there with you. We're riding it. The fact is, though, we all just need to be better today. Thanks. I was not-